Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a ridiculously wet and gross Vancouver morning. Despite that, I'll do my best to bring some sunshine into your lives by virtue of speaking with Chantal Van Andel, who's a PhD student from Erasmus Medical School in the Netherlands. Chantal and her co-authors have a paper entitled Broadly Sampled Assessment Reduces Ethnicity-Related Differences in Clinical Grades that will be released in the March 2019 issue of the journal. And again, for the second time in less than a month, Chantal, I understand you're making this recording just before leaving on maternity leave. Congratulations on your pending newcomer and on some really interesting work that I hope to discuss with you over the course of the next 10 minutes or so.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. Thanks for the invitation.
So let's start again about this work that is being done for your PhD dissertation and the issue of ethnicity-related differences in grades, or fairness more generally, is something that is obviously unfortunate, but that people have become increasingly aware of, and certainly appreciate that you're trying to get a handle on how we might reduce this issue. But before we get into your efforts to do that, I wonder if I can ask you to tell those listening who might not be aware of the magnitude of the problem a little bit about your view on ethnicity-related grades and what the literature tells us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, in the Netherlands, we see that especially in the final phase of the curriculum, so when medical students do their clerkships, that the differences between students who don't have a migration background and who do have a migration background start to increase. And we see that it's not only in the observational exams, but also, for instance, in the multiple choice tests and across clerkship. So it's not necessarily more present in one clerkship than the other. And around 30% of the students that we have at Erasmus Medical School has a migration background. So that makes it good for us to analyze the data. And I think the UK has a similar problem, but I think for them, the differences in grades are more related to social economic status rather than ethnicity. But in our case, definitely ethnicity of students is really an issue.
And that, again, raises the general relevance of this paper. I know that there are a variety of things that we try to be socially accountable and fair about in our grading, and this obviously speaks to the heart of the validity of the assessments that you do. When ethnicity-related differences have been observed, I understand that they've been observed across multiple contexts, and so it's not the case that one particular group seems to consistently outperform, but rather it does fairly routinely show up that it's the migrant group as opposed to there being any individual ethnicity that underperforms, which I think does obviously speak to the issue of this being resulting from bias rather than anything else. Is that a general perspective that's been adopted within your medical school? Has this become a priority for them because of recent awareness of this issue?
Yes, we do think that it's a problem that definitely does not have one cause. So it's not only bias or only the effects of stereotypes or prejudice of an assessor in clinical ratings. We also think that there might be student-related factors or assessment-related factors that contribute to the problem. And when I speak of student factors, you could think of differences in social networks, for instance. This is something that we haven't investigated yet, but that we would like to explore as well. Because, for instance, when we see that there are differences in the multiple choice test, this is a machine marked exam. So this is something where stereotypes or prejudice of assessors is not present or is not possible. So yeah, bias is one of the causes of the problem.
Right, so with the machine-marked exams, if it is that students are being treated differently or having different opportunities or whatever, multiple causes, it would be something that occurs before the moment of actually assigning a grade. So what made you believe that broad sampling could be beneficial then, if this is showing up across a variety of different assessment modalities? Why would sampling across more modalities be a potential solution?
Well, the literature has learned us that with broad sampling, you increase reliabilities because it's not necessarily that subjective ratings cannot be reliable. They can, but it's better to sample them broadly and with broadly assessors across multiple moments, across multiple tests. And broad sampling could potentially reduce the effect of unwanted variances. And with unwanted variances, we mean, for instance, that one patient case can be more complex than the other, or one assessor might be more stringent than the others. And we thought, well, if broad sampling could function to reduce these unwanted variances, then it might as well reduce the variance between groups who differ in ethnicities.
Thanks for that explanation, and it makes me realize that I do need to ask you to define what broad sampling looks like in your context, because that's a term that isn't necessarily going to be used every day by many of our listeners, and I think could easily be interpreted many different ways. So what does broad sampling mean to you?
Yeah, we had it in contrast with a global evaluation system. So in the past, a student would just receive one grade between 1 and 10 at the end of a clerkship. But then we had a new evaluation system based on broad sampling, which means that a medical student is being evaluated by at least 2 assessors in multiple tests across multiple moments. So you will gain many partial grades because these partial grades are explicitly given for each subcompetence of the CHEM-MED framework in different tests. And all these different partial grades, they lead to a final clerkship grade by means of a standard formula.
Okay, so in this context, we're really talking about clinical performance in both versions, the global assessment version and broad sampling version. And you had what sounds like a natural experiment arise in that you were able to look at historical data with the global assessment version, and your school has moved to a broad sampling mode of assessment. Again, can you clarify for those listening the differences between the two points in time?
Yes. Well, there haven't been any changes with regard to selection. And in our analysis, we also controlled for whether they were first generation or second generation migration status and their average bachelor grades. So these two students groups were similar in terms of their basic student characteristics. And we were not aware of any other curricula changes that might have influenced the cohorts differently.
So it's a very fortunate time for you to be conducting the study then, because that clean a difference with historical controls doesn't occur very often, which is wonderful. And so you classified people by ethnicity and then had a pair of research questions that you tried to address with this database. Can you explain those to us?
So our first research question looked at whether ethnicity-related differences in clinical grades would be smaller in a broadly sampled assessment system as compared to a global assessment system. And then our second research question was whether ethnicity-related differences in clinical grades increase when supervisors are given the opportunity to deviate from the original broadly sampled scores.
Okay, so with respect to the first question, our listeners can probably guess that we're talking about this in part because in the latter broadly sampled version, the differences in performance between different ethnicities was smaller than in the previous group. So that new system seems to have had the desired effect. But then what does it mean when you say that you gave supervisors an opportunity to deviate from the score that was assigned through that new system?
Yeah. So with broad sampling, you get multiple partial grades, and these partial grades lead to one final grade by means of a standard formula or an algorithm, we called it. But then not all supervisors were satisfied with this solution because they were like, but I don't think that this student deserves a 7. I think this student deserves an 8 or a 6 or whatever change. And then our medical school allowed them to deviate from these original grades that were basically advised by the evaluation system to deviate from this original grade with one full grade point. So if a student has a 7, the supervisor was allowed to change it into an 8 or a 6, or the grade will remain the same. And we called these changes upgrades or downgrades, and we tested whether student ethnicity could be a predictor of receiving such an upgrade.
And when you allowed that change to occur, that upgrading or downgrading to take place, what happened in terms of your ethnicity outcomes?
So we saw that especially Asian students and Turkish, Moroccan, African students had lower chances of receiving such an upgrade as compared to Dutch students, so students without a migration background. And we also saw that average bachelor grade was a predictor of receiving such an upgrade. And we were really surprised because the upgrades happened for almost half of the cases. So in almost half of the cases, a supervisor decides to deviate from the score that is advised by the assessment system.
And that, in my personal opinion, is one of the more fascinating aspects of the study. The fact that you showed a difference between migrant students and non-migrant students that went away with broad sampling is definitely important. But that latter piece has huge implications in terms of if a school moves to a broad sampling system, how deliberate it needs to be about using that system instead of allowing for exceptions to be identified and overruled. So again, some of the details I'll have to direct our listeners to the paper for, but what is your advice at this point with respect to enabling programs to mount an assessment system and how they should use their data to try to avoid some of these hopefully unintended disparities?
Yeah, so our results basically show that broad sampling solution to reduce differences in clinical grades between students who have different ethnicities, especially when this score is the final score. So when supervisors are not allowed to deviate from this original score. And another practical implication would be that if medical schools do allow supervisors or do provide supervisors with this freedom of deviating from original grade scores, then we suggest to make their choices more accountable such that they will have to legitimize their choices or that they have to provide an argument for why the student deserves another grade than the one that has been advised. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense, and obviously raises many empirical questions that you weren't able to get to with this particular study, but given that it's part of a PhD, I'm sure we'll see more to come and look forward to hearing how you continue to help us better understand these issues and how we might continue to improve our assessment practices. But recognize that there's going to be a brief pause, at least, as you settle into your maternity leave, and obviously we wish you the best of luck and the most of joy during that time, but we'll hear more from you when you return.
Thank you so much, Kevin, and it was a pleasure to explain our paper more clearly. Yes.
Thank you again for squeezing this in before you went on leave. For those who are listening, I'll just remind you that the paper we've been discussing is titled Broadly Sampled Assessment Reduces Ethnicity-Related Differences in Clinical Grades, and you'll find the details in the March 2019 issue of Medical Education. The individual you've been listening to is Chantal van Andel, the first author on that work. Thanks again, Chantal, and best of luck.
Yes, thank you for the invitation, Kevin.